This is the Lindell Report, bringing you news combined with hope by offering practical and achievable action points to assist you in defending and preserving faith and freedoms. And now, here is your host, Mike Lindell. All right, good evening. Glad you are with us. Mike is on business tonight, and I am in for Mike Lindell. I got to fix my earpiece. All right, there's my earpiece fixed. Sorry about that. All right, so Mike is taking care of business tonight, so I'm in for Mike Lindell. Joining me tonight will be Michelle Swimmick from Arizona, giving us an update on what's going on out there. Breaking news over the weekend with that and the Attorney General. And then we're going to hear also from Garland Favorito. Then we're going to hear from Patrick Colbeck. Then we're going to hear from Jeff O'Donnell. It's a packed broadcast tonight. By the way, before we get to it, don't forget, my friends, we have a very special broadcast coming up Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, our second annual Lindell TV Thanks-a-thon. Now, on Thanksgiving Day, we're going to try to keep it kind of light. Not going to make it too heavy on Thanksgiving, folks, so that you guys can enjoy the day and have some great things going on in the background. We'll have a concert. Many of you maybe don't know. Classically trained tenor, I am. And I do a concert the last few years every year at Lake of the Ozarks. Logan maybe will preview a little bit of that for us tonight so you can see. But we filmed that Christmas concert. In fact, the CD came out today. I got the first two copies of them today. A Brandon House Traditional Christmas, and it's classic Christmas songs. We'll let you see a little bit of the concert. It was filmed with five cameras, a swinging boom at Lake of the Ozarks. We'll give you a little sampling of it because we're going to unveil it for you guys on Thanksgiving Day right here on Lindell TV. We'll unveil for you a very traditional Christmas. You're going to love it. Fully orchestrated, all custom orchestration that I had done for this album. And so we're going to release that for you on Thanksgiving Day. We're also going to have for you some fun shows, some cooking shows. Many of you know my wife and I host, co-host a show with her. I wanted her to, she's kind of a Martha Stewart type, that's for sure. And Mike Lindell can testify to that. He loves her cooking. Garland Favorito, Roger Stone, all of them, Trevor Loudon, they can all testify to the fact that she's an excellent cook and hostess. And so I tried for years to get her to host a cooking show, a decorating show, a home show, if you will. She would not want, I'm behind the camera kind of person, she says. But she finally said, okay, fine, but you have to co-host it with me. So I do co-host that show with her. It's called House to House. You can actually see some of the episodes at housetohouse.com. That's H-O-W-S-E-T-O-H-O-U-S-E. Well, yesterday we filmed a couple of those. And those are in post-production, and we're going to release those to you on Thanksgiving Day. Some great home decor and cooking. And, of course, when I'm in the mix and Logan's in the mix, then you know it's also going to have a – we're going to have a little fun as well. So there's always just, you know, a goofy guy like me in the kitchen cooking and stirring, which my kids are not used to ever seeing me in the kitchen cooking and stirring and baking. It just isn't me. But my wife has me there to do all that. So we have a lot of fun. We'll add in some Christmas music to that one as well. So we have a big day planned for Thanksgiving Day here on Lindell TV and the second annual Thanksgiving broadcast. Thanks-a-thon. Then on Friday and Saturday, we'll have a lot of special interviews we're bringing you. And we're going to have with us in studio Annie Cyrus, associate producer and host here on Lindell TV, Annie Cyrus and Leo Holman Friday and Saturday. So a lot of special programming over the Thanksgiving weekend. Hope you can join us, mark it, and count on being here for some very special programming, particularly Thanksgiving Day, with music and cooking shows and some fun stuff, trying to keep Thanksgiving a little more lighthearted and fun, but focusing also on faith and family on Thanksgiving Day here on Lindell TV and streaming it over on my broadcast network as well. All right, joining me now is, who's my first guest? I got four of them. Michelle Swimmick is joining me now tonight live from Arizona. Hi, Michelle. How are you tonight?
I am excellent, Brandon. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for the update you brought me this morning so I could get you booked for tonight. Give us an update out of Arizona and what's happening there in, what do you call it, Mara Corruption County,
Anarchy, Arizona. I'm hearing an issue with the mic. Is Logan, are you hearing an issue with my mic too?
No. Nope, you sound great to us.
Okay, as long as you guys, it doesn't matter what I hear. As long as you can hear me, that's all that matters.
Yep, we sure can.
So, yes, I appreciate you using the correct name, because once people actually accept that's the county you live in the country we live in, then it makes it a little easier to understand everything that's going on, the chaos. As our very own Board of Supervisors, the chair, Bill Gates, did mention that in a press conference. He called it, well, that the, you know, the door number three, the box number three, the infamous misread ballots, he said that that's responsible for a lot of the chaos. So you're already, they're already admitting there was chaos. So that's actually a good thing.
Now, I mean, you think, do you think they, do you think they did that on purpose, or was that a slip of the tongue?
No, I just don't think he's that bright. Yeah. I think it was, I just think he, because he's not, right? He's not. The fact that how he was describing the situation while he's walking his dog and then putting down the voters and saying that, you know, I can't say this to people, you know, in public or whatever, so I can only say it to my neighbor, but meanwhile, it's being broadcasted out. So yes, the man is not that bright. Nefarious and like nefarious and demonic, yes, but not that bright when it comes to his language.
The opinion, the opinions and views of the guests are not necessarily those of Mike Lindell and Brandon House and Lindell TV.
That's what they do on Brighty on TV. Like, they have that warning sign that comes up before my show, and it's something new because I guess Adams is like, you know, we got to cover our rear ends. Probably had a call from the attorney, and it came up on my show one day. So I said, Heather, is that just on my show or is that everyone? She goes, no, we have it on everyone's. I said, okay, I just wanted to make sure. But yeah, you might want to do your warning sign.
As it is on the end of my radio show on the network I'm on, they my show goes off the air and they say the opinions and views expressed by the host and the guests are not necessarily those of the network that carries me.
Like, so, sorry. Yeah, so you're covered in 60 terrestrial stations across the country, I believe it
That's
is.
That's right, so. I am. 60 terrestrial stations, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. I do listen. See, I've been following you since like 2019. Like light stalking.
Wow.
Yeah, I found you on Twitter before you even started the whole Lindell TV and Frank speech. Yeah.
Well,
and I was like, who is this man? I need to be his friend.
Well, yeah. Thank you. And we are. And we are.
Yeah, now we are. Now we are. So you want Mayor of Corruption County updates?
Yeah.
So what people need to really get their arms around, or at least maybe accept, you cannot move on from this one like you did in 2020, and you can't move on from what transpired like you did in the primaries, because it happened again, everybody. The mass amounts of maladministration, the mass amounts of fraud, what's disenfranchisement of the voters. It's like, what is it going to take for everyone to just realize that? But you know what, it doesn't help that people on our side, right, they've moved on. And they're blaming the reasons why there was issues here on ballot harvesting. We gotta get better at that. Or maybe we gotta vote harder next time.
Wait a minute, what do you mean? What do you mean when you say people on our side have moved on? What do you mean by that?
Well, unless they're talking about all the major problems and the fraud that took place and the machines being the main problem, because machines failed by design. And this is the network that literally talks about it nonstop, right? You want to go ahead and selection code. You've had how many summits and explaining all this stuff to people for 2 years. But you've got people like Charlie Kirk who just seem to think that we don't have a good turnout. And we've got to work on literally the ballot harvesting is that must be the ground game is where it's at. And that's not the case. Until people realize the only way you're going to have an honest, free, and fair election is you have to get rid of the machines, because the entire election process is fundamentally designed to control the outcomes. Now, once that sinks in, all of this other stuff makes sense. And the people that are in charge of the system, the left and the right, the people on the right are just as bad in the elected and selected elitist positions. They don't want to change the system because it keeps them in control. Because they could pick and choose who they want. Because you have to understand, here in Arizona and across the country, there was a red tsunami on election day, election night, with the people that actually voted at the polls, even including the mail-ins. But you also had a blue massacre of your legal vote, because of the issues that transpired at the day of the polls and the whole entire system led by the machines. And you just look at the numbers alone. There's no way that the land inspector in Arizona has more votes than the Republican governor candidate for governor. These things are mathematically impossible. Many, many of them are that way. So take that aside. Let's just focus on the protocols, the process for all the different counties, and we'll just focus on Mayor Corruption County. Once you have an issue with machines, You immediately, this is their own contingency plan based on the Secretary of State's manual. You have to either repair or replace immediately. That was not done. At my center, I was there for 3 hours in the morning from 6 to 9 a.m. The machines, one out of nine of the ballots were actually going through the tabulators. So you have nine ballots that are, as Mike Lindell would say, gone. They're not running through. And you have one that goes through. That's for 3 hours. So why was it not at 6:15 this issue resolved, text on the spot, and you got your attorney general who sends out a letter on the, it was the 16th or the 19th, I don't remember the date, it was just last week, I think it was 16 or 17, somewhere in there, about all these things that went wrong. The election was on the 8th. The problem started at 6:15 in the morning. So what, day late, dollar short? That's embarrassing. So all of a sudden, everything he listed is pretty much the things that me and other people who were talking about this on shows Tuesday night when I came home and Wednesday, and it takes him how many days to issue a letter? Like, let's just say it's the 16th. Look, it was on the 8th, the election. Again, at 6:15, his office should have been dispatching people to do what they needed to do if he is the attorney general for the whole state of Arizona. So what should have happened is you should have repaired or replaced. So if you can't repair, which there was none at our center, our tech didn't get there till between 3:30 and 4. And we're a huge, busy center. So just right there. You can't certify an election with machines that don't work. Because how do you know, just because the machine started to magically get better throughout the morning, because it went from 90% bad to 10%, so one ballot out of 10 was actually going through. Then it went 80-20, 80 bad, 20 good. Then it was about 60-40 bad, 60-40 good. Then it went to 40-60, and that's what it was pretty much for the day. 40 good, no, 40 bad, 60 good. But here's the thing. So you have to, how do you know that the ballots that actually went through on a machine that wasn't working a couple hours ago is magically going to be reading it correctly? That's not how it works. So you have an election just on that one ground that you cannot certify. And this happened at centers, and all their numbers are way underestimated for where things were happening. Because another report came out that was by like a bunch of roving attorneys that was hired by the RNC and Look Who's Counting, which is Cleta Mitchell's group. Well, that's the website, but whatever her name of her group is. And they did a 23-page report on what happened. And it's interesting because the numbers that are in their report, pretty similar to the numbers that I was giving based just on our center alone on Tuesday night, on election night. And it was double to almost three times as much as what's being reported. And of course, that's the narrative, right? We already know that. But as far as the procedures, that's what we want people to focus on, because that is literally the grounds in order to get this not certified. Because you cannot certify this election, because the people that they said won did not win. And this is all over the country. It just happened here in mass amounts, right in our faces. And people like myself and other people started speaking out about it, and it started to gain traction. And because there was so much attraction to Carrie Lake in the first place, that piled on to it. Other than that, it's happened in every state.
So your attorney general, how do you say his name? Last name? Yeah, exactly.
Bernovich. He loves those nunchucks. That's what he does videos like this with nunchucks.
Why?
I don't know why. That's his thing. He thinks that, you know, everybody has like a little marketing gimmick. He thought that was going to help him win, I guess, in the primaries for the Senate rather than just doing his job.
So is he out as Attorney General? I mean, he didn't run. He was running for U.S. Senate. Is that right?
It was right. Yeah. And he didn't win the primaries. Okay, so he is out.
So he's out.
He is on to Fox News, I'm sure, we'll
okay.
get a contract.
So he wasn't running at all for attorney general again?
No.
Okay. So, but he's the attorney general until when? What's going on with that attorney general race?
It's the same. It's all the same. Those people, they didn't win.
Okay. So again, why do you think the current sitting attorney general all of a sudden is talking about not certifying this election? Why is he asking for stuff?
He's not talking about not certifying. He's asking for information to save face, right? This is all a dog and pony show, but it's actually good because it's pointing out yet again to everybody in the state and the country, here's are some of the issues that we think, the alleged, you know, they love that word alleged, even though it's fact. So it actually just gives, it's like when you have discovery and you go into court, you might not like the cases that were in D.C. You know that the judge and the jury are going to find the criminal innocent because they're all part of the same DC swamp, but at least it gives you a chance, like with Durham, it gives you a chance to have discovery so you can have the information come out. So the fact that he actually did this, whether he has intentions to move forward with it or not, which they won't, because they've had information for 2 years about the election fraud in 2020, plus the huge audit, and nothing's come of it. So nothing is going to come of it. But from his side, that's fine. But it just brings attention to it. And it's actually citing specific issues that were either problems, disenfranchisement, or it was even violations of law, statutes, and protocol, which just gives now the ammunition for the campaigns and for We the People, which is what we're telling everybody. You cannot rely on the attorneys. You cannot rely on the campaigns to be doing the work of what is our responsibility, because it's our election. It's not the candidate's election. And it's, and we are the ones who have been harmed by the fact that they took away our sacred right to vote and destroyed the entire election process by design. These are not issues that were oversights or oopses or we had an at clerical error. We left out a whole of this information into the protocol and procedures. That just doesn't happen when you have years and months and things to do quality control checks. How many hundreds, tens of millions of dollars were put into this? This is all by design. It's just at this time, you know, sometimes when demons get so emboldened, they just get a little too much in themselves and then they slip up, or you have too many people involved and next thing you know, things go sideways. Or maybe God intervened this time and said, you know what, I'm going to give you guys a little help, but you got to help me out too. So that's what it comes down to at this point. So, as the American people need to step up to the plate.
So before I let you go, tell me about how many emails has just your group alone received where they've turned in and saying, don't certify this election? What did you tell me today by text, 355,000 or something?
Well, that was when we text. So before I jumped on the show, and it's 72 hours ago is when we launched the campaign. We're up to 386,754 emails. No, we did it so simple, guys. This is like our Ban the Machines campaign. We made it strictly based on the violations of the procedures, because Katie Hobbs actually cannot be in the position that she is to oversee the election. It violates statutes, law, and it's very clearly written. No one pushed her on it. Gee, I wonder why, right? Got to understand, these people are not your friends, because it's left and right, our uniparty against We the People. So what we did is we did an amazing campaign. It's an email and a petition campaign. So you click on it and you go to Save My Freedom. I got my sign here. I got my sign. I'm ready to go. You're going to go to savemyfreedom.us, savemyfreedom.us. And it's a one-click email, all Arizona legislatures, because they're going to be making this decision apparently, and the AZ elected officials that are your county supervisors. They are your board of supervisors, your county recorders, your election directors, and your sheriffs throughout the whole state of Arizona. So you click that, put on your information. It's really quick, takes less than 2 minutes, and that's way they can know you're a real person. Then you click it, it gives you all information about some of the procedures. We're gonna be loading it up with even more, because every day we're finding out new things that they violated. And some of the stuff is like huge items that you just can't look as an oversight. And then after you click on that, the email goes out to them, goes to a petition. Then it has their phone number, so if you want to call them and tell them that, what do you think of the election? And tell them that you don't want them to certify this, they can't. And then you can also then click on it. It sets up an automatic post in Telegram, Facebook, and Twitter. And we're asking everybody in the country to do this, because it's a volume game right now. And we want you to do this every single day, once a day, tell 10 of your friends. And you don't have to live in Arizona, because we have people on the ground that are going to be meeting with them, that are putting pressure on them. We've got groups that are going to them. So then that way we have the combination of the both. And it worked before with the ban, the machines. We didn't get the machines banned, but we at least got a hand count, and we got attention to Mark Elias, which filed a lawsuit down in Cochise County, which Cochise County might actually come up to be somewhat of a hero here, but we got to give them the support. They said the reason why they were able to do what they did down there, it's because they normally get about 4 dozen emails when these campaigns come through. They got 22. Oh, no, that was 4 dozen phone calls. They got 2,200 phone calls and even more emails. So they knew they had the support of the American people when they went in to the actual meeting to vote on whether or not to do a hand count. Then, of course, you know you've made it when you get a lawsuit from Mark Elias. And then we got a Media Matters hit piece. So then we knew that we were on the right path. So they right now, let me give you this real quick update, and then I know we got to go. So they said that they're not going to certify the election until the Secretary of State proves that the machines are certified, which we know that they're not, because they haven't been for years. So we got to keep putting pressure on them, everybody in this whole campaign, because there's always little loopholes and little things that people can do to get out of stuff. So don't hang your hats when you see a post on social media that they're not going to certify. There's other things that go along with this. So keep your heads down. Keep doing this campaign. Get on the phone and do this, everybody across the country. And I'm telling you, it's going to work. You've got to keep pressure on these people. They're little demons. Some of them are big demons. But it works. It works. So it's savemyfreedom.us. I'm going to give it again. And it's a Substack channel. So if you subscribe, we're going to give you updates because it's easier to get out. There's clips on there. There's videos. There's interviews. There's great articles that have been written about everything that's going on. So that way you can know the facts. Keep the emotion out of it. And we already know the machines are bad. They have to be removed. But let's not even go down that road because then they'll call you an election denier. Stick with the procedures. The violation's right there. There's no disputing that. And that's how we get them on it this time. But it takes we the people to step up to the plate. Oh, the other thing, do not give any money to the campaigns if they're asking for it for their attorneys. They have big donors. They can call Trump. You keep your money for your gas. You keep your money for your food. You don't do what you do is you do the homework and the legwork and you get on the emails and you get on the phones and you click those buttons. So keep your money to yourself, people.
Excellent. Thank you as always, Michelle. Appreciate your hard work.
Thank you. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you. Michelle checking in. We're going to move quickly because we got a lot to get to. Still three more guests. Let's go now to our buddy Garland Favorito. Hey, Garland with GeorgiaVA.org. How you doing, Garland? Hey, Garland.
How you doing?
You doing all right?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm hanging in there. Hanging in there.
Okay. Got to get my screen adjusted a little bit.
That's all right. All right, so you got a big press conference coming up tomorrow night. What's going to be going on there?
Yeah, we do. So a couple things. First of all, I just sent Logan a couple of slides. If Logan can bring it up while I'm talking to it, the first slide. We're going to have a press conference to do quite a few different things. First of all, we're going to go over the 2022 Georgia election anomalies. We're going to look at the risk-limiting audit that was just performed by Secretary Ransberg. I'll use that term loosely. We're going to announce new litigation that we are filing, and we actually have already filed this to against counties who destroyed the original ballot images from the 2020 election. We had 1.7 million original ballot images destroyed here in Georgia for the 2020 election, and we're going to seek to preserve the 2020 election ballots because the images have been destroyed. And therefore, the only thing, way we can ever look at the election results is to look at the physical ballots. So we're trying to preserve those, hold some counties accountable. And that's some of the things that we're going to do tomorrow. And this is one of the anomalies. That was really good. Logan, if we can go back to that first one. That is perfect. I wanted you, and we announced this one, Brandon, on election night. We found that there was a 23,411 vote decrease for Herschel Walker. This was reported by WSB, the largest station in the state of Georgia, and it occurred at 10:08 on election night, according to the affidavit over there on the right and the affidavit that Logan just showed you on the screen. So if you remember Jeff O'Donnell, when we were in studio there on election night, we found that this little blip up there on the top right had a total of 27,753 votes that decreased for Herschel Walker, according to the Edison line feed, total amount of votes that just decreased. Now, it is possible that both candidates' vote totals can decrease if the county backed out election results. That never happened in Georgia. Raphael Warnock's votes never went down, and there's no explanation for this vote total decrease for Herschel Walker. That's one of them. The second thing that we found that was also been reported lately, in Texas and some other states, is that our poll books inexplicably added hundreds more voters that allegedly cast votes in three different counties. So in other words, we had hundreds more voters on the poll books, voters who voted versus ballots cast. That's an impossibility. We're going to talk about that. We have presented these anomalies to the WSB, to the Secretary of State's office, to anyone who will listen to us, and no one can explain the vote decrease for Herschel Walker, and no one has yet to explain the poll book hundreds of voter increase in three different counties there. So that's one of the major anomalies we're going to be talking about. And Brandon, I want to flip to the other slide just to give you really bizarre things that happened in the Georgia race. So first of all, Secretary of State Raffensperger ended up getting 10% more votes than the U.S. Senate candidate Herschel Walker, even though Walker was the first name on the ballot, on the entire ballot. Raffensperger actually got 5% more mail-in votes than Governor Brian Kemp. Never seen a down-ballot race poll better than the governor's race. Very bizarre there. And then here's a real kicker for you. For on the Democrat side, the acknowledged leader of the party in the state of Georgia of the Democrat Party is Stacey Abrams. But yet she got 100 and she was running for governor and she gets 133,000 less votes than Raphael Warnock, who's running for Senate. She gets 13,000 less votes than Jen Jordan, who was running for attorney general as our current state senator. And she gets 2,000 less votes than Charlie Bailey, who is running for lieutenant governor. Now, these races here, I have never seen in the history, since I've been doing this since 2000, I've never seen a down-ballot race outpoll the gubernatorial candidate for the same party. So there really is no explanation for these things. We would like to hear it, but we haven't heard it yet. So those are just a few of the anomalies that we have in Georgia, and we're going to be presenting these to the news media here tomorrow and on the 59th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination. And we'll try to get some answers, but I doubt that we're going to get much of any answers out of the local press here.
Wow. Okay, so let me ask you this real quick. I know that we talked about you coming on tomorrow night. I got an opening tonight. You want to come on tonight since tomorrow's the anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy?
Yeah, I guess I could do that. What?
About 8:20 Central Time. That'll give us longer. It'll give us a good 40 minutes.
Okay. Only trouble is I'm not totally prepared for it.
Oh, well, you've got exactly 2 hours.
Okay, I will try to run that together real quickly, and we'll see what we can do.
Well, I was just thinking I got more time tonight than I do tomorrow night.
Okay, let's chat. Can we chat about that after the show?
Yep.
Okay. Why don't you give me a call?
All right, will do. Sounds good. All right, Garland Favorito is also an expert on the assassination of President Kennedy, and tomorrow's the 59th anniversary, so he wants to come on to do that, and I got a slot opening up tonight on my show. I can fill it with something. I got plenty to talk about. But, man, my schedule the next few days is booked. You can't believe what I'm going to present Wednesday night. I mean, the guest I've got Wednesday night is going to blow your mind. It'll be my first time to interview this person, but their book and the guest will blow your mind Wednesday night. I'm going to hold off announcing it quite yet. All right, let's go now, Logan, before we go to are we done? We're done, right, Garland? Is he done? Is there anything else, Garland?
We're done, Brandon. We're good. Thank you.
Yeah, VoterGA.org, VoterGA.org, VoterGA.org. All right, Logan, we're going to go to Patrick Colbeck here in just a second. But before we do, you want to go to this little spot?
Yeah.
Is it ready?
Yeah.
All right, this is the first time we've showed this. My new Christmas album just came out today. What's this called? It's called A Brandon House Traditional Christmas. And I did a full concert in the Ozarks in October. We filmed it. It's also not only a CD, but it's also a DVD of the concert. I'm not going to release the whole concert until Thanksgiving Day right here on Lindell TV. But would you like a sample? You're going to see the spot we just produced the first time. I'm actually seeing it completed. I was involved in the production of the spot, but Logan did all the magic on the graphics. I helped produce everything else. But I'm seeing it in its completion for the first time, too, along with you. So this is the first time this has aired anywhere. Watch this.
Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb.
Order your CD and or DVD of A Brandon House Traditional Christmas.
Crypt war is burned.
You can order the CD for $19.99 or the DVD of Brannon House live in concert at the Ozarks Worldview Weekend for $24.99. Or order both the CD and DVD that is normally $45 for the special package price of just $29.99.
We didn't know it was
WVWTVstore.com. That's WVWTVstore.com. Or by calling 901-468-9357. That's 901-468-9357.
Used by the biggest
voting, the brand new CD came out. And the reason I'm showing you that tonight, folks, is to have you understand that this is going to be released. The full concert for you to watch, Christmas concert, will be released right here on Lindell TV, part of our second annual Lindell TV Thanks-a-thon on Sunday. So you'll get the full hour on Thanksgiving Day. All right, we'll air it several times between now and Christmas, but that'll be premiering on Thanksgiving Day as part of our second annual Thanks-a-thon right here on Lindell TV. So a lot of upbeat, positive stuff for Thanksgiving Day. And then we'll also on Friday and Saturday have with us in studio, as I already announced, Leo Holman and Annie Cyrus in studio with us as we continue our programming and bring you a lot of great interviews, a look back at last year, moving forward to 2023, and just being thankful for the things we're being allowed to accomplish. We'll also mix in your phone calls. So let your family and friends know we've got a big Thursday, Friday, Saturday plan for you, including releasing for the first time that full Christmas concert that we did at middle of October, Lake of the Ozarks, in anticipation of this very special weekend. All right, with that, we're going to take another quick break here, and then we're going to go to, I think, Jeff O'Donnell up next, right, guys? Yep. And then Patrick Colbeck. Colbeck is still yet to come tonight. I'm Brannon House, in for Mike Lindell, who's out on business. Now, don't forget, folks, all of this is brought to you by you. You help us bring you this program, this whole network. Please do the bulk of your Christmas shopping. Ask your family and friends to do the same. Help support Mike Lindell and all his work to save our beloved republic. Please go to MyPillow.com. Use that promo code L77. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses. Yeah, you can order a whole mattress. It shows up at your door in a box. Mattress toppers, robes, so much more. MyPillow.com, promo code L77, promo code L77, and MyStore.com, the home for American entrepreneurs, started by Mike Lindell. You'll find a lot of stuff there, MyStore.com, including the My Coffee, which has become a huge hit. Light, medium, dark roast, whole bean, ground, whichever you prefer, the coffee pods. You can even do a subscription and send a family or friend a subscription so they get the My Coffee in the mail every 2 weeks or every month, whatever you prefer. It'd be the gift that keeps on giving. You can find that at mystore.com. Use that promo code L77. All right, Patrick Colbeck and Jeff O'Donnell yet with updates tonight on the Lindell Report. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to bring you my Giza Dream bed sheets for the best offer ever. We're all experiencing rising prices, but I was able to secure a limited amount of Giza cotton for a great price, and I'm passing those savings directly on to you. You can get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98 with your promo code. They're the most luxurious sheets ever, made with the world's best cotton. It's grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. I know my sheets are perfect for you, and I'm extending my 60-day money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to save 50% on my Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.98. Quantities are extremely limited at these amazing prices, so please order now.
All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us. All right, we still got to be joined by Patrick Kolbeck out of Michigan for an update and Jeff O'Donnell with an overall update. Joining us now by phone is Jeff O'Donnell. Jeff is graciously agreed to let us drop him in here tonight, so he's going to join us by phone. Jeff, welcome back to the Lindell Report. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Always a pleasure. I took time. I'm about to see the SpaceX launch tonight.
What? What? Wait a minute. You're about to see what?
The SpaceX launch tonight.
Really?
We're in East Coast, Florida. Yeah. I haven't seen one in a long time. I got the opportunity to.
Are you right there on the ground? Are you right there on the grounds?
I'm at a safe distance. Put it that way.
Wow.
We're really looking forward to it.
Well, good.
But, thanks for having me on. I wanted to update you on some things from the midterms. I continue to find problems. Essentially, I think I can say all over the country. Some of them have been, there's records of votes going down in dozens of races and dozens of states. It should never happen. You should never take away votes, especially not on election night. We've also found some very interesting things. And we're looking at the different races in these states. When we look at the number of votes cast, and what I mean by that is there were 33 states on election day for the midterms that had Senate races. Of those 33, 23 of them, including all of the what you would consider to be the major races, people voted more for their House candidates, Republican House candidates, than they did for the Republican senator. Now, I can tell you this is not a normal phenomenon. I mean, it happens now and then, but not 23 out of 33 is quite the record. Meaning, people went out, voted for their Republican House member, and then turned around and either voted for their for the Democrat candidate for Senate, or they didn't vote for Senate at all. And we see a lot of those too. People who bypassed the higher races, the statewide races, but went ahead and voted for the House member, and that's extremely suspicious. It happened in Arizona big time, and when you realize that the attorney general candidate for the Republican Party, Hamada, outperformed Carrie Lake in Arizona, and you look and say, given the popularity of her and her. The fact that she was a news person and is very well liked, very well known, that a fairly unknown attorney general candidate actually outperformed her in this race, and not only that, the Senate race with also the Secretary of State race with Mark Fincham, both of those have much lower vote totals than the governor or the attorney general race. So what this means is there was an awful lot of ticket splitting going on, according to what we're being told, a tremendous amount of ticket splitting amongst the Republicans. They would come in, they'd vote for, Kerry Lake and then not vote for Fincham or Blake Masters. They'd vote for Hamada and not vote for Kerry Lake. It is so chaotic. And the fact that I see it in other states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, et cetera, the same kind of phenomenon going on, it just points to what we suspect happened. You know, there's manipulation going on through, you know, a combination of machines and fake mail-in votes. I mean, it's the same song as 2020, essentially.
Wow.
So I think that's the biggest thing that's concerning me. The other thing is we're starting to get cast vote records now rolling in from the midterms, which is amazing to get them this quickly. We've got 42 counties in Georgia have gotten us cast vote records, and we're in the process of evaluating those. And it's going to be extremely interesting comparing those to 2020, comparing them to each other. So if you're one of the warriors out there who participated to getting cast vote records for 2020, as many of you did, time to go back to the iron and start banging on them again and get those 2022. And if you get them, send them to the email address newcvrs@proton.me.
Okay, let's put that on the screen, Logan. Give that again real slow, if you would, so Logan can put that on the screen.
Yep. newcvrs, newcvrs, @proton.me.
Okay, you guys got that? @proton.me. M-E. All right. Otherwise we're going to get flooded with calls on how to send that. Because last time that folks went around and requested those and sent those to you, that was very, very helpful, correct?
It's incredibly helpful and will continue to be helpful. We're still analyzing. We put out some of our findings already that you know, essentially prove our case, as far as I'm concerned, of the feel of the 2020 election. So they're going to be very even more valuable this time. If you want, you could put my website up, which is...
We've got that. MAGARaccoon.com.
Endorsed by Jimmy Kimmel.
I know. If you go to MAGARaccoon.com, you can watch the video where he's promoting your site.
Evidently he loves me. But you can find something on there. It's kind of funny, called CVR's Cast Vote Records for Dummies. It's a document that tells you what they are, how to ask for them, what to say, you know, more information to give to the clerks if they don't know what it is. It's a very handy document to have.
And that's at MAGARaccoon.com.
That sure is.
MAGARaccoon. Make sure I spell it right. Let's see.
Yeah, M-A-G-A.
Yeah, there we go. Look at that. Look at that. There it is. All right. Welcome, Jimmy Kimmel watchers. Thank you for Jimmy. Look at that. All right. So then you can watch the video where he talks about it. And in fact, we should play it real quick. Let's do that real quick. Here we go. Watch this.
Yeah, that's right. Just go to MAGARaccoon.com and MAGARaccoon.
There you go. There you go. Did you ever think that would happen to you, huh?
That's one of about a million things that I never thought would happen to me that has in the last year and a half.
Okay, so where is this cast vote records for? There it is. Download CVRs for Dummies. There you go. So this will tell you how to get them, and then you turn around and email them to you, newcvrs at proton.me.
That's correct.
Is Proton Proton?
Yes, correct, yes.
Okay, we do have it right then. All right. So these are very helpful, and this is how people can learn how to go get that. So in conclusion, what is the overall message that you're trying to say here?
The overall message that I'm trying to say here is that I and some others thought that they might back off on the cheating in 2022. They didn't. They walked into essentially trap we had set for them. They knew we were watching. They knew that we knew what they were going to do, and they did it anyway. And they just simply didn't even try to cover their tracks this time. And you know what happens to arrogance?
Yeah. What is it? Pride cometh before a fall. Is that the
Bible?
Pride
cometh before a fall. And there's a big fall coming.
So do you think it's arrogance, or do you think they believe between the media and the courts and the legislatures, they, and I don't know who the they is. If I had to guess, I'd say it's a lot of the people in the Intel arena, that's my opinion. But if they think they have control of all those power centers, is this why they're doing it, or is it just flat out arrogance?
Well, I think it's one follows the other. They're arrogant because they feel like they got away with it. That's why in 2020, you know, because you know nobody's yet gone wearing a orange jumpsuit who stole the 2020 election. That's true. So they think they got away with it. But they don't know that they should know. I mean, this isn't over, not by a long shot. And they just made things worse for them by confirming. I mean, there are things that I know happened in 2020, and there are things I suspect. And based on what they did in 2022, I'm able to move some things from the suspect into the know now. And so, I'm not alone. I mean, there's people obviously working all over the place on this. And
yeah.
And, you know, we all kind of agree when we're talking about this. They just pushed all the cards onto the table, all the chips.
Wow.
On this one.
Wow.
The numbers just are fantastically dumb.
Wow.
You know, if you look at, you know, Pennsylvania, if you look at what happened there, again, the incredible ticket splitting that would have happened, you'd have to have people who went out and they voted for Dr. Oz, but then decided not to vote for Doug Mastriano. Instead, they voted for, you know, a socialist, Shapiro. That makes absolutely zero logical sense.
Indeed.
And it tells us what to look for.
And by the way, I think MAGA Raccoon has got two C's in raccoon, guys.
Yes, it does. Two C's,
so,
two O's.
So that is not going to get you to his website. It's got to have two C's in raccoon. But you know what? Don't worry, because I typed it in wrong a while ago and didn't get there, and then I put two C's. So we'll fix it.
If you're not sure, call Jimmy Kimmel and ask him.
Or just type go to a search engine, type in MAGA Raccoon, and it'll pop right up. That's how I found it originally. So,
yes,
all right. Thank you for the update, Jeff O'Donnell, and good luck on the SpaceX launch tonight that you're watching.
Thank you, and if you'll have me back on, I'm sure it won't be long before we have some very interesting results out of the new cast vote records from the midterms.
We're absolutely going to have you back on. Thank you, as always, Jeff.
Thank you.
Jeff O'Donnell checking in. MAGARaccoon.com is the website. You can check it out there. You can find all about CVRs, cast vote records for dummies, right there. All things cast vote records, including how to request them from your counties. Okay? And then we gave you the email where to send them. All right, joining me now is former Michigan State Senator and former rocket scientist. Here's Jeff watching the SpaceX rocket go up. And we're going to go to a rocket scientist who worked on the International Space Station, Patrick Kolbeck. Hey, Patrick.
Man, I'm jealous of Jeff.
Patrick is also author of the book 2020 Coup, available at mystore.com. Use the promo code MeddlingKids when you do that.
And I think Jeff nailed it pretty well with the assessment of the combination of arrogance as a result of the fact that they're getting away with it. And Michigan, just to give you a quick status update, what's happening here is that we had a Secretary of State by the name of Jocelyn Benson that was found guilty in five separate court cases of violating Michigan law, including one as recently as October 20th. And a lot of these cases, dealt with her restriction of oversight of the elections and her attempt to actually subvert the integrity of the election. So, even though she was found guilty in all those cases, there were no penalties associated with it at all. Matter of fact, her only penalty is that she got reelected to serve as Michigan Secretary of State, according to the unofficial election results. So, a little frustrating right now in Michigan. There is no joy in Mudville, as they say, but Jeff was saying, we were a lot better prepared than we were in 2020 to capture what they did. We had something called Operation Overwatch here in Michigan, and we collected quite a bit of data. And when I say we, I mean all the meddling kids here in Michigan and nationwide, including Jeff O'Donnell, who's provided some of his data analysis, as well as Idraza Smith as well. And they've been helping us out. But we have over 225 incidents of election fraud that have been documented up on a website we've been using, and that number keeps growing every single day. Also, Catherine Engelbrecht out of True the Vote tossed in another 100 or so that people contacted her about regarding Michigan. So there's a lot of incidents of malfeasance here. Besides the fact that we got a Secretary of State violating the law, we got a lot of other examples of people violating the law in this 2022 election. It's kind of frustrating.
Wow. All right. So what do you make after now a couple weeks of analyzing all of this? What do you make of the people? How are the people taking this? Do we have more people engaged in this now than we did 2 years ago? In other words, it's been a repeat, and now they're like, wait a minute, now I'm not buying this outcome.
They're not buying it. They're engaged. And the testament to that is one of the tasks that I had for everybody leading up to the election was to capture the tabulator tapes all across the state so we could have a reference point when they're telling us what the election results were, that after they've been processed through these vote aggregation servers known as election management system servers. We wanted to be able to have the actual raw tabulator tapes to compare with that, because back in 2020, there was a significant vote difference whether or not you rolled up the vote tallies by precinct versus by county. And so when I asked everybody to go collect these tapes all across the state, within a couple of days, we had 53 out of 83 counties in the state of Michigan covered with a county coordinator, making sure that we were able to collect all these tapes for those respective areas. So people are very, very much engaged. It's now taking time to do all the data entry around that. And we got teams doing that so we can analyze the results a little bit more effectively. But I'll tell you, people are very, very much engaged.
Wow. All right. So tell me what's going on in Michigan. Proposition 3, you know all about it. Explain to our audience what that is. And do you believe that they fooled with that vote? Or do you believe that the people of Michigan really wanted Proposition 3 to pass?
Well, like Jeff was saying, we believe there's a lot of examples, a lot of evidence of some split ticket voting going on. And we had 6 key races at the top of the ticket. We had the governor, attorney general, secretary of state, and we had 3 ballot propositions. One of which was ballot proposal 3, which essentially I refer to it as a Sodom and Gomorrah amendment to our Michigan Constitution. It prohibits the state legislature from regulating any sort of sexual behavior in the state. And we talk about it being a license for abortion in the state, but it's so much more than that. It's a license for pedophilia, for bestiality, pretty much anything down the pipe. And that, I'm sad to say that amendment now goes into effect on Christmas Eve here in Michigan.
Because I did see some websites claiming that Proposition 3 had nothing to do with transgenderism. Is that a lie?
It's a complete lie. It did away with parental rights. You can read the actual text of the ballot language, go to mi.gov. I think they still have it up there, and read through it. Now, it doesn't specifically say the words transgenderism. What it does is prohibits the regulation of any sexual behavior whatsoever. So it's going to be challenged in courts. You know, all current laws that we have against pedophilia, against all of our age of consent laws that we put into place, they're all subject to questioning in context of this amendment now because of the restrictions that have been put in there. And it was only on the ballot. It was the language associated was so deceptive that the Board of Canvassers in Michigan wouldn't agree to put it on the ballot. It took a court order from the Michigan Supreme Court to say, good enough. Let's just push it onto the amendment. Nice way to treat the an amendment to Michigan Constitution. Very laissez-faire from the Michigan Supreme Court.
So do you think that proposal really passed, or do you think they fooled around with that one too?
I think all 6 races that I was referring to were rigged to some extent. And we're going through the analysis right now, and everybody sits there and tries to write off Michigan. They say, listen, your vote margins are around 500,000 to 600,000 votes, whatever. Well, keep in mind, in 2020, they stole over 250,000 votes in Michigan. So the idea that they're pushing for 500,000 or so is not a huge stretch when you look at the fact that we believe that their methods, and we have evidence of their methods, are statewide. It's not just the city of Detroit anymore when it comes to election fraud. This is, we believe they're shaving points off across all 83 counties in the state of Michigan so that when you get to communities like Detroit, you don't have to take as much risk in stealing the votes in those communities. Now, having said that, we're still seeing plenty of anomalies, and we're certain, and they're very brazen in what they've done. But, you know, Michigan's still in play. When you actually break this out on a per precinct level, when you look at the vote tallies, for as few as 50 flip votes per precinct in the state of Michigan, and there's 2,999 voters capped is the cap for the number of voters per precinct in Michigan. The idea of flipping 50 voters systemically across the state is not a huge stretch considering what we know their capabilities are when you centralize the management elections and when you deploy these electronic voting systems in the state of Michigan.
Wow, wow. All right, Patrick Kolbeck, you want to promote a website?
Sure. If you go to about2020coup.com, makes great stocking stuffers there. You can buy my book that tells exactly how the 2020 election was stolen and then what we can do about it. And if you go to mystore.com and use the promo code MeddlingKids, you can get an additional 33% off for your loved ones. It'd make a great stocking stuffer. Give the gift of freedom this Christmas.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, folks, for watching. Sitting in for Mike Lindell and Brandon House. Take care.
You're watching Lindell TV.